Chapter 3, Events on a Sofa.
The owl claims he's a psychotherapist. Before he'd settled in Mixie's monkey puzzle tree, he'd lived in another, further down Acacia Avenue, and seen one of those Johnnies at work through an upstairs window.
"Try and cure my hubby, then," says Mixie.
"Cure yourself,"
he snaps back. His wild black beard is all sticky with marmalade. His big nose juts out like a red-hot poker. And he's got a black eye. He was out fighting last night. Well, that's an idea, too. Being cured. Not that she needs to be, but she's curious to know what it's all about. So, that afternoon, Mixie shoos the soldier and Trixie out of the sitting room, lies down on the sofa, and stares up at the ceiling. Well? Her alarm clock ticks in the kitchen.
"The chimney sweep,"
she whispers, already half asleep under the owl's unblinking stare.
"Ever so handsome he were."
A tear trickles down her cheek. All her life's sorrow wells up in her. Oh, what a life she's had! All those children and washings up. How many buckets of coal hasn't she carried upstairs in her day? How many nappies hasn't she hung up on the line? More than she can count. But the sight of Trixie coming down to breakfast in his braces and long underpants has scared them all away. Never done an honest stroke of work in his life, he hasn't. All because of him being dropped as a baby.
"Ooh,"
says the owl, unmoved.
"Never forget him, I won't,"
Mixie goes on in a whisper.
"Such a nice lad. Fell for me heavily, he did. Kissed me on the beach in the moonlight. Afterwards we went dancing to Reggie Dixon and the organ."
The owl blinks. And then? Mixie gives a little scream. It's all happening again. Went up in flames, he did, her chimney sweep.
"Burnt alive in one of his own chimneys. Murder aforethought, that's what it was. But the police couldn't make head nor tail of it. It weren't never cleared up, all because of me being Miss Blackpool. Full figures, rich complexion and black curls was all the rage that year. Work of a rival, they was sure. Someone with a red nose.
At this, the door bursts open. Trixie's been listening at the keyhole.
"It's a pack of lies,"
he shouts.
"She's making it all up."
And to the owl, chasing him round and round the sitting room,
"You get out of here."
Easier said than done. The owl just flew from the mantelpiece to the dresser, out into the kitchen, then back again to the clock. Out in the garden, the soldier who's been staring at the neighbour's cat on the fence hears the hullabaloo. Comes rushing in, finds feathers everywhere, and Mixie in a blissful trance on the sofa. By and by, since he's been up all night, the owl closes his eyes and falls asleep. Obviously, he too has come to stay. But enough's enough.
"That bird's too nosy by half,"
Mixie declares, worried what other secrets she may have given away. So next day, it's the soldier's turn. What's the first thing he can remember? Porridge. And then?
Spoon.
And then?
Pusher.
Then? The soldier turns deathly pale, begins trembling all over, stares up at the ceiling, whispers,
"The axe."
When he'd been naughty, his father, the chief beefeater, had shown him the axe and block, the one they'd chopped off the heads of all the kings and queens of England with. Well, that explains everything. Of course, he'd become a soldier. What else could he be? For a while, he'd strutted up and down outside Buckingham Palace, trying to look brave. But the day war had almost been declared, he'd fled to Mixes. "The owl doesn't believe a word of it. The soldier can begin all over again tomorrow. And the next time, tell the truth. Time's up. That'll be sixpence." But of course, the soldier hasn't got sixpence, so Mixie has to fish one out of her purse. Oddly, next day, the owl's forgotten all about it. Just sits up in his tree, looking wise.